Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
My television does not work.
I love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win with the Twins. I love quarterbacks eating dirt, pom-poms and short skirts, fans who won't quit, and those Twins. And I love them too.
Here's the one more.
Too much. And Twins.
And the Twins.
One of the all-time pervious commercials.
Who doesn't love Twins?
Now, do you mean the Twins or the Twins?
Which one are we talking about?
Well, it depends how much you love them.
Twins.
I like rewinding commercials on TV when there's lots of stuff on the internet for free. And Twins.
Hachi-machi. You mean to tell me you got some Twins?
Tell me you read the oral history of that commercial.
I've not yet.
It's as I said, it's an Onion article. It's an Onion article, and that might have been... Oh, man, was that right around the year that all of the commercials were just, like, fart stuff? Like, they had, like, the two, like, Clydesdales from Bud, and there were the women, there was the guy and the woman in the back of one of his horse-drawn carriages, and the guy lit a fire, and the horse farted, and, like, their hair caught on fire.
Unlike the Seinfeld episode where he has the horse-drawn carriage, and he gives them the SpaghettiOs, and they make a lot of... Beefarino, and they give them a lot of gas.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, I'm a guy. You know, when you're trying to appeal to a dude,
mm-hmm.
you introduce them to Twins.
And Twins and Limp Bizkit rock and roll.
That's got to be like 2000, I would think. That's probably like right around 2000, maybe like 99 that commercial came out.
By the way, very difficult with the time change today.
Oh, yeah?
Very difficult. Feel like I should be just getting up now instead of getting up an hour earlier.
What does it take, like 3-4 days until everything's kind of back to normal?
I'm not ashamed that I'm going on vacation on Thursday. I think that will be a nice, in that central time. And you know what I've heard about Aruba?
What's that?
Twins.
There's twins everywhere you go.
A lot of twins. That's what they're very much known for.
They are. It's amazing. And they're always just walking like in slow motion on the beach.
Yeah, too. And I just crack like some brews and just go and check out the twins.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, good googly moogly. What do we
There's
have
four
here?
Four butt cheeks here. And they're exactly the same. I love them.
Might be one of the cheesiest commercials of all time. And we're still talking about it.
Well, I mean, God that's bless the power them. Of it.
Mm-hmm.
What now? What is the product that it's hawking?
Is it Coors or is it Budweiser? The Coors Light? Is it a Coors Light commercial? Okay.
I wonder if Scott will be in. Scott Zolak will be in one.
Oh, I mean, possibly, because you could see him like lowering his like glasses too.
Yeah, I don't think he would do that on TV.
No, he might not.
Because then you got all kinds of shenanigans behind the glasses.
No, you cannot do that.
No, he would be very upset if he did that.
Okay, there's an article. Speaking of, I don't know why this made me think of that. But have you seen this article, John? This is such a John Wallach article if I've ever seen it.
I love this buildup, yeah.
All right. 1510 The Zone had a chance to dethrone WEEI as yes. Boston sports radio leader, yep. But you couldn't hear it.
It's true.
It's an oral history of the start of 1510 The Zone,
mm-hmm.
which I guess started in 2001. It launched on September 11th, right? I only read like a glance through it.
1510 The Zone, and I'll never forget, Sean McDonough, you'd appreciate this. Sean McDonough was hosting Afternoon Drive when they launched.
Okay, so this
And the whole thing about Sean McDonough was he was going to, that was the whole thing, we're raising the bar.
Fred,
we're raising the bar, Sean McDonough.
You should read this article.
Yep.
It's like, first of all, they say that 1510 The Zone was the blueprint that 98.5 The Sports have essentially like copied in order to take down WEEI. And I'm like, are you out of your mind?
That's right. We had Sean McDonough as our afternoon drive host.
And they're all talking about like Sean McDonough was the funniest guy in the room.
No,
and I'm
he
like,
really
are
wasn't.
You? And it's like, we didn't want any of this, you know, gruff man talk that the other sports station had. We wanted to raise the bar. And I'm like, whoa, the glory days. How in any way possible was this
Sean,
the blueprint for 98.5 The Sports?
Where is this?
Oh, it's great. It's on the Boston Globe.
Chad Finn wrote
Chad Finn did an oral, like an oral history of it. And it's got all of these different people. And It was like, oh, the great days of Sean McDonough being a host.
All right, Sean McDonough. Like, oh, can I just tell you, Sean McDonough decided that he wasn't going to stick to just local sports. He was going to go national. And what he did was, and Sean, again, I still think is a very good play-by-play guy. Maybe not Monday Night Football worthy, but still a very good play-by-play guy. He was cardboard. The show was cardboard.
They tried
a national slant in this market, and it failed spectacularly.
Okay, so this is just the third paragraph. So this is the tale of a station that in 2001 set out to challenge Boston sports radio powerhouse WEI, never had the same resources to do so, but ultimately produced the blueprint that 98.5 The Sports Hub would follow years later in overtaking WEEI in their enduring Boston sports radio show.
Never heard of this radio station in my life.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. This is the tale of 1510 The Zone, the most talent-rich sports radio station you couldn't hear, as told by those who were there. So it's got all of these people, you know, interviewed. Like, I guess Bill Simmons was like a guy who was a guest on it, like every once in a while. And I gotta see like raising the bar. Wasn't that with,
raising the bar. That was McDonough's thing. The McDonough group in the, during afternoon drive, raising the bar. That was what we're going to class up the joint.
It said,
and it was awful.
The McDonough group promised to be, but not the way these people say it. It was the greatest thing. And just for some reason,
Dan tells me Howie was the program director.
He was. And it's on there. He's interviewed in this. Howie, who works at the station. The McDonough group promised to be different than WEI's successful, but often of obnoxious guy radio approach. McDonough pledged to raise the bar, which became the show's, slogan.
Yeah.
And then, Sean Grandy, I guess, was the program director at the time.
Grandy, they brought Grandy in as a consultant. He wasn't the program director. They brought him in as a consultant.
Did they ever bring in twins?
And the twins! So it says, this is Dave Jagler?
Jagler.
It says, It was intended to be intelligent sports talk radio. Not boring, but you could have a debate and a discussion and talk about players and issues without the vitriol and anger. I thought it was a really good concept. And it said, according to Grandy, popular Channel 4 sports anchor Bob Lobel would have been the choice had McDonough said no. By the way, once again, this is the blueprint for 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And by the way,
Lobel and Sean McDonough.
Now, as far as talent goes, I mean, obviously McDonough's a national play-by-play guy. Jagler wound up being the play-by-play guy for the Washington Nationals. I mean, there are guys who worked at this station that went on to do bigger and better things.
Just because you write.
No, I was just going.
And you're a play-by-play guy. Doesn't mean you can do this for 4 hours.
I was just about to say it didn't work as far as the sports talk format goes. All of these guys went on to do other things, but they weren't suited for this format. That was the end of what I was about to say.
This is so great. So Sean Grandy, who I guess you said was a consultant, says, the idea that you could do sports talk in complete sentences, he's talking about McDonough. He didn't want to do a low-rent show, but it needed humor. Sean off the air, and this is the guy we wanted on the air, is the funniest guy in the room.
I've actually heard that he is funny. I've heard that he is a bit of a wild man, if you want to be know the truth. He belongs to my country club.
McDonough says, Glenn Ordway used to say that if I do it with my true personality, I'd be good at it. You know, opinionated, and I guess he thinks I'm funny. All right, Sean, way to go. And then you've
Do you like twins?
And you like twins. And, like, the ads are just so... I mean, look at the ad for the McDonough Group. It's like these cartoons, and it's just, like, the most boring bald guy they got.
Who are the diehards?
One of them's Ryan Russillo.
And the other, Sean Anik, who is a big MMA guy now. I mean, he's front and center in the MMA world.
Well, look at that. There's futures.
So those two guys, they had people who went on to do things for national networks, but for this market
Rotillo,
and sports talk, it
did not
work.
Mean to my lady
and
friend.
That was during Russillo's run at 1510, was that John Dennis phone call, I believe.
I do like him. Like I do like Ryan Russillo. But I mean,
where do you hear him?
I've seen him on TV.
Okay. I don't see him that much.
He's worked for The Ringer too.
Okay.
Yeah, Russillo used to host when ESPN did national. He used to host a midday show.
Yes. I am aware of that, but he no longer does so.
Right. Right.
I mean, now all he does is talk about twins.
I want to read this entire thing, but like the very first thing that I saw was it was the blueprint for 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nope.
And I was like, not
even close.
Not anywhere near that.
They got a no talent morning show that knows nothing about sports.
Pretty much. They got a bunch of jackasses that they thought they'd stick around until they ultimately got kicked off the air, and then shockingly things went well.
Yeah. Relatively
well.
All right, well, it's nice to know that there was a blueprint, and I've certainly been following that. I was unaware that station ever existed, but nonetheless.
Yeah, this is a long article. I mean, it's going to be a fun read, to be quite
they
honest.
Had no, the signal had no power whatsoever. So, I mean, that was part of it, and I believe that 1510. Remember when Fox tried to be relevant by spending all that money to get the National Football League? And wow, okay, that made five. 1510 spent a lot of money to get Patriots Monday and Friday, and they locked in, you know, getting Patriots interviews Monday and Friday, and that was their big leap into the market, and that did not work well, did not go well for them at all.
All right, well, I don't know. I'm unaware of the 1510 radio station, but I intend to learn as much as I can. Through the article that is, Giardi was on it.
Oh, he had his own show.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon was on it.
Well, I don't know if Matt Damon was on it, but I mean, he's like, there's a picture of him on the thing. But I know that Mike Giardi, there's a picture of him for the ad, and they made him like ripped in the picture.
Will like McDonough is on it.
Will and Sean.
Oh. Is that Holly?
Yeah, Michael Holly was part of it too. Yep. But I mean,
Maxwell.
Well, I mean, it was Max and Grandy.
Yeah, they had Celtics rights too. They had the Celtics for
so
a while. So
they started
Michael
there together, right?
A. Smith.
Yep, used to work. Did the 6 o'clock Sports Center with Jemele Hill. Remember that?
Yep, yes, I know that.
The six.
I know that. You don't have to tell me twice.
I'm sorry.
Who's the old guy with the messed up teeth?
Is that Eddie Edelman?
Yeah, it's Eddie Edelman.
Oh,
Eddie used to host middays.
Eddie, really good shape. All right, what's coming up, Rich?
Let's talk about...
I mean, it is dark outside. It was very difficult to get up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that got me up was thinking about twins.
Mm-hmm, twins!
All right, what's going on?
The Celtics game was just a barrel of misery. Probably one of the worst endings of a basketball game they played the entire season.
All right, we will hear about all that horribleness in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rip.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Night of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and the Boston Celtics are finding new ways to lose.
Bounce pass, Tatum. Tatum, 6 seconds to go. Tatum pounding Chris Paul. Turns, fades, tough shot, no good. Scramble for the rebound. Kemba turnaround, floats it up and short, and the Thunder have won the ball game.
Wow.
An absolutely sickening loss for the Celtics.
It has become a scary theme over the last several home games. They led the Rockets by 16 points, the Nets by 21 points, the Jazz by 11 points, and the Thunder by 18, and they lost every single one of those games. The Celtics blow this one to OKC, 105-104. To me, one of the most concerning things about last night's loss was the play of a guy who was their best player starting the season, Kemba Walker. Since returning from his injury, to say he hasn't been able to get his feet back from underneath him is really an understatement. And with Boston ahead by one, he committed a rookie mistake that ultimately cost them the game.
Thunder have timeouts remaining, but they need to foul if the Celtics get it in safely. Boston by one with 13.8 to go. It is amazing what's happened here between these two teams. Kemba in the backcourt trying to force a turnover. Instead, they get the turnover. Unbelievable. Schroeder has the steal from Kemba Walker. He lays it in to give OKC the lead. Kemba was dribbling to the corner to try to run time to get them to foul. Instead, Schroeder reaches in, knocks the ball free, drives in and scores, and the unthinkable happens in a span of 2 seconds.
Kemba gets stuck in a corner and barfs up the ball.
He dribbled backwards into a corner in front of his own bench. I don't know why he did that. Why was he going backwards?
I mean, listen, I'm no basketball expert, God. But I think that's something they teach you even in like grade school not to do. But
Lord.
What's scary is that he had a play similar to that earlier the week against the Nets, in which that led to their loss. Another like barf up the ball turnover like that.
Has anyone considered that he might have seen Twitter?
No, but on top of that, Kemba's shooting is also way off.
Nice try.
He also hasn't shot 40% in like a dozen or so games. I mean,
he's not right. He's not right. That knee is bothering him. The question is that knee going to bother him for the rest of the season?
I mean,
is it something you can play your way back into shape? I don't know.
To think that this is something that he's just getting his legs back. Like he's
going to
take a few games. Well, you hope so. But Kemba knows he's been off too. He sat at his locker with like a towel over his head during most of the post game yesterday, but he did finally talk, and here he answered about his final turnover.
I don't know. It's frustrating. I mean, that's the second time it's happened in 3 games, so I just got to be better. Just find a way. Go to home to the basketball. Don't finish those games out.
And Gordon Hayward, who for the majority of the game was pretty damn good. Did he end up being the scoring leader?
Yes, he did. 24 was the scoring leader.
Well, he knows the team obviously needs to regroup and press the reset button pretty damn soon.
Yeah, regroup. It's kind of the beautiful thing about the NBA is you get another chance coming up real soon. And so we have another opportunity to get a win, play well against a really good team that plays really well at home. And so it's going to be a tough one. We'll look at the film individually and as a team and try to get better from it.
And the worst thing about all this is that in a race where the second seed is crucial, the Celtics gave up a chance to make up much needed ground in the standings. They now trail the Raptors by 3 games with only 19 games remaining, and the upcoming schedule is tough. road games in Indiana and Milwaukee next. And if the current standings hold up, the Celtics would host the 76ers in the first round, which I know everyone's like, oh, well, great. Well, the Sixers suck. I know the team is dysfunctional. But couldn't you see that team just deciding to start playing hard and giving the Celtics a run for their money?
Joel Embiid's a pain in the ass. And he dealing with him over a seven-game series, my feeling about that hasn't changed. That having to play Joel Embiid in the first round when you don't have the dominant big guy to knock heads with him is a problem.
And couldn't you see Al Horford all of a sudden just becoming a monster against the Celtics?
Yes.
And Ben Simmons, it's one of those games where, you know, you can rip on them all you want, and I've definitely ripped on them this season, and they have been dysfunctional. But I just got a weird feeling it's because they're just not trying. And come playoff time, they might become a completely different beast.
Here's the thing. First of all, Jaylen Brown didn't play last night. I know Oklahoma City was without their top scorer as well. But for the Celtics, you need everyone out on the floor to succeed. I think that's obvious. And Gordon Hayward played really well last night. That's something you can take away from it. He had taken a few games off with the bad knee. He looked not only more like himself, but aggressive, too, on offense. And that's a good thing to see. You have to figure Kemba Walker's going to get better over the next 2-3 weeks, month, whatever it is. And Jason Tatum, if you need him, can take over and score a lot for you. So the Celtics have a lot of things going for them. They've hit a really rough patch, especially at home. Four losses at home is inexcusable. And the fact that you've lost four consecutive double-digit leads is inexcusable.
And by the way, I rewatched the last two or so minutes of that game because as I was watching, I'm like going, they can't play any worse. And the stuff they were doing was like, it was like, you know, like the we remember in Space Jam when they stole all their talent and just
it looked bad.
I went back. Kemba misses an easy layup, easy layup.
But he had two easy missed layups back to back,
and then Tatum missed an easy layup.
Yeah.
Next play, Marcus Smart barfs up the ball, and then there was a great play, Hayward to Tice, great steal by Smart that led to that Tatum layup. Then it looked like all right, they finally got it back. Bad foul call on Tatum. And then, what's his name? Dragon Mechakopoulos ended up, everyone was calling him, yelling Aquaman to him last night.
Steven Adams.
He missed both free throws. But Chris Paul, the tallest guy in the court, ends up getting the rebound. Paul misses, but kills the clock. Smart inbounds to Kemba. Then that happens there. And then Tatum misses the jumper. I mean,
all
it was
the bad
sloppy.
Look, all the bad things the Celtics did last night, they still should have won a game.
There's no
you
question.
Have the ball up one with Kemba Walker with the ball in his hands. You still should have won the game. Look, I'm not here to tell you that the Celtics are a dominant team. They're not. They need everyone playing well to go far in the playoffs. And I don't know what far is. Could be the second round. Could be the Eastern Conference Finals. Milwaukee is the best team in the conference by far if everyone's healthy. But this little rough patch they're going through right now is not what this team is. They're going through a rough patch. They're going to play better than this.
2 weeks in a row, we've pressed Danny Ainge on having bench scoring, some sort of bench depth. And he has said, with this starting five, he feels confident that they'll be able to do damage in the playoffs.
You shorten your bench in the playoffs. The bench doesn't get a lot of minutes. I think that a little bit of that is overblown.
Okay. All right, who's your number seven guy? Because if you're going to win a championship, you got to have seven guys. Seven. There's got to be at least two guys in reserve that you can come in.
Smart is the sixth guy.
Who's your seven?
I don't know. It could be Grant Williams.
There is a massive fall in talent. Just a cliff in talent, and it's never been more obvious than over the last several weeks.
They still have enough to win two playoff rounds. They still do. They're still Eastern Conference Finals.
I just think that. I mean, think about the guys who made big plays in championship seasons. It's dudes like Eddie House. It's guys like PJ Brown. It's people who just you can rely on to come off the bench and do something. And they got nothing right now. Nothing. Wanamaker had a bad game, even though shout out to my man Wanamaker.
I wasn't even going to go there. I was going to leave that alone.
But he sucked the other night. But he's also not a guy that you rely on. You know what I mean?
He's your backup point guard. He's your eighth guy. He's a guy that gives Kemba Walker about 10 minutes of rest a game.
I hope the lack of the inactivity at the trade deadline doesn't come back to bite him in the ass. I mean, because first of all, everyone's got to be healthy. And he's right. That starting five, matter of fact, I'd put that starting five against any lineup in the NBA. Like the starting five is from 1 to 5 is as strong as it gets. I mean, that is a strong lineup. But man, after you get Marcus Smart in there, what do you got? You ain't got nothing. I mean, that you got nothing. Carson Edwards got sent back to the main Red Claws. Mm-hmm. So did Poirier. He got sent back there. Robert Williams, we still don't know what he's going to be.
I think Robert Williams is a rotational player in a playoff series.
And Enes Kanter's,
yeah.
I mean, what's happened to him?
See, Kanter's not an offensive force, and he gets lost.
You just need someone reliable out there, and you've got nobody. Grant Williams is too young. Maybe one day he'll turn into something.
Romeo
Langford, one day he'll turn into something. Right now, they're not ready.
You have to hope you get something out of Kanter or Williams. And Williams hasn't played badly last few games.
No, we'll have to see. But and listen, I'm not as depressed about this team because of this stretch. Even Brad Stevens said it yesterday. Every year, teams go through a stretch of like two or three of these. They've had two now. There was earlier in the season a stretch of bad games that they had. I understand it. And it's tough in the dog days before you get to the playoffs. But you are fighting for that number two seed, which means everything. And you lost ground, man. I think Miami's only a game and a half behind you right now.
Well, yeah, something like that,
all
too.
Right. So there you go. So I don't think all hope should be lost, but they got two tough-as-hell games ahead of them to try to right the ship. All right, when we get back, the coronavirus, it has caused pandemonium everywhere, and it has affected professional sports, including the NHL.
Yeah. And Twins. I can't get that out of my head.
Well, that's why they made the commercial, because everyone loves Twins.
I mean, I can't get that. I just love Twins. Identical Twins. Not just like fraternal twins.
No, Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Identical Twins. We'll be right back.
98.5 The Sports.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. You can watch this on Twitch. If you go to twitch.tv and search The Sports Hub, or go to the Twitch app and do the same, and you can see our beautiful faces and keep Nick employed, which is very difficult to do.
Well, this was the weekend that the coronavirus officially started effing with American sports. The first official major tournament has been canceled. It's the BNP Paribas, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, Tennis Open. It's an event that typically draws upwards of 450,000 fans. Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, Serena Williams, and more were slated to play this thing. It's been called off due to the coronavirus being confirmed in the Coachella Valley, where the tournament was to be held in California. On top of that, the NHL has announced that they will be closing dressing rooms to reporters. The move comes at the recommendation of the Centers for Disease Control. Here is Commissioner Gary Bettman.
As you all know, the locker room is a very intimate environment, and players are not always fully clothed, and it may be best to have media accessibility at a podium for everybody's health. So we appreciate everything that the media does covering our game and the relationship you have with our teams and our players, but we're dealing with interesting, to say the least, and challenging times from a medical standpoint.
I don't know what the not fully being clothed things has to do with the coronavirus. What do you think? You catch it through your wiener or something?
It has nothing to do with it.
I'm not
very
sure.
Sexy. I mean, you know, lats and big hamstrings. I am have been around two doctors over the weekend, and both of them said this was all crap.
Well, I would say that society and the death rate would say that's different. And well, they would disagree with that.
All I'm telling you is that both doctors, and for no reason, said that this is garbage.
In what way?
and that if that you have nothing to worry about if you're a healthy,
if you're not person, old,
if you're not old.
Okay.
Well, yeah. They said that if you're not old, that you most likely won't even get symptoms. That it's like or a light cold. And that the belief is that this has gotten like way out of hand.
Like what has gotten out of hand? The
paranoia. Reporting of it, the paranoia.
Yeah, the paranoia has gotten way out of hand.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's absolutely crazy. I'm not lying to you.
Both doctors were like, this is ridiculous.
Well,
like,
I mean, there was that Biogen conference that they had at the Long Wharf like last week. Yeah. Was it Marriott Long Wharf?
Okay. Yes.
And I guess like 15 people who were there have now contracted the coronavirus. And
they were all in the same conference room as the guy who got sick, right?
The guy who got sick.
Yeah, but what is, I mean, they got the coronavirus, but what, like, what's wrong with them?
Well, if anyone's over 70, then it's a big deal.
Is the guy who was spread the disease, is he in a death door? Is he?
It's weird. They keep the information on these people really quiet. And you, I think it was Dan. It might have been actually Felger's, where his daughter goes to school. Because I know that he was broadcasting live or from his home. I think on Friday.
He's just doing that so he can be cute.
I don't remember. I don't know what school specifically was. I thought it was in Wellesley, but it was found that the mother of, I think, of one of the students had the coronavirus, and then they shut down the school in the middle of the day and sent the kids home. And a lot of them were just like sitting on their doorsteps because, you know, if both parents work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and I know they tried to contact them, but I mean, not everyone's checking their email. And sometimes people, you know, aren't there. So they just, in the middle of the day, sent all the kids home from school so they could spray down the school. And I mean, I guess if you're the principal, like, what do you do in that situation?
Because you got to be proactive.
If you keep them throughout school, then you're like, oh, well, you're exposing them to these germs.
It's much worse if you keep them there.
Yeah, well, but if you send them home for no one, like,
but apparently there's been like way worse pandemics that weren't treated this way. I'm just telling you what.
Like when? Like in 1917? Like the big flu one?
No, like
because I don't remember SARS, anything like this here in America.
SARS, the bird flu? What the hell was
But not here. I don't remember there being like giant tournaments canceled.
No, because people didn't freak out. The death rate, too, was like quadruple what it is now. And so
in America?
Yes.
I don't think that's true.
The death rate from SARS was something like 19%. And
but the number of people dying?
I don't know.
I don't think that's true in America.
Has 100 people died from this thing?
In America? I'll have to check. But I mean it's one of those things where we also don't know how many people. I mean all the kits go out this week. I think that something like 1 million go out today and then another couple million, I think, throughout the rest of the week. So once that happens, you're going to find out just how many people have it, which is going to be a ton.
Apparently, if you get it and you're a kid or you're anyone of any health, that it's not a big deal. That is what I've been told.
Well, that's what everyone's been saying. But yeah,
so you got nothing to worry about.
So every person over 70 just needs to quarantine themselves.
I mean, I'd be more cautious if I was over 70. My parents are coming into town to take care of my kids. But, I mean, I could take it or leave it. If they get it, I mean, what am I going to do about it?
Well, so Major League Baseball, the NBA, and Major League Soccer, they are expected to follow suit in closing off locker rooms. The interviews instead will be conducted in formal press conference areas, you know, like a podium-type situation, like it's the finals.
That's right.
On top of that, the NBA has told teams to prepare to play in arenas without fans, and LeBron was asked about that. And
he didn't like it.
He didn't like that at all.
LeBron, apparently the possibility has arisen of playing NBA games without fans in the arena just to be safe because of coronavirus. Have you thought about what that might be like?
Who?
Or,
Who?
Who what?
Who what? We play games without the fans?
Yeah.
No, it's impossible. I ain't playing. I ain't got the fans in the crowd. That's what I play for. I play for my teammates. I play for the fans. That's what it's all about. So if I show up to an arena and ain't no fans in there, I ain't playing. So they can do what they want to do.
Thanks, everyone.
Appreciate it. I ain't never played a game without no fans. Ever, since I started playing ball.
They tried to do it in Europe or soccer sometimes.
I don't give a damn. This ain't Europe.
Like riots and stuff sometimes.
Man, I don't do it. They can do what they want to. Go ahead.
I don't know what they're going to do if they end up having to stop these games. It's weird because, you know, it sounded like something that, it's never going to happen, but they're canceling these tournaments here.
I know. It's insane. I think if the internet didn't exist, they wouldn't be canceling these tournaments.
It's certainly a contributing factor.
Yeah.
Social media especially.
Absolutely. Because, again, this is not fatal to, like, 99% of people.
Well, no. I mean, 70 and over is not 1% of the population.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many of them have died? If you still look at it, the death rate is exceptionally small. There's 300 million people in the country, and, like, 100 have died.
But it just got here. Like, it just got here, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and if 100 people have died in the last 2 weeks, or 150, I don't care if 1,000 people have died. It's still not a big deal. Or as big a deal as it's being made out to be.
By the way,
are you traveling?
Yeah. I'm traveling as of now, but we're going to find out later today. We're going to talk to Mary's nurse practitioner to figure out what the deal is.
Are you going to Vegas? Are you going to Disneyland?
As of right now, that's still inaudible, but we're definitely going to be going out west. Definitely going out west. We're going out west as long as her nurse practitioner today says it's good.
I guarantee you that they're going to close Disneyland, and it's going to screw you.
I mean, I don't care. If they do that, that's fine. I mean, we'll go to the desert or something like that.
Well, you're going to be... You don't want to go to the balls. That's
right. I'll just stay away from people and trip balls.
Yeah. Eat peyote and just be like, kids, Max, Hank.
Do you want to hear the dumbest thing, though, that I saw on TV all weekend long? Because I actually watched more, like, news than I should because I wanted to find out, like, you know, what everyone's saying about all this stuff.
It's the quickest way to get scared.
It is.
You know that,
it is.
Right?
It's okay. A paranoia builder. But this was one thing that was, like, a head spinner.
Now, they say the mortality rate.
Hang on, this is that Judge Jeanine Pirro, I think her name is.
Oh, she is so talented.
Are you ready?
And she is so on the money.
Get ready for this.
Now, they say the mortality rate for coronavirus is higher than a flu. But consider, though, that we have a flu vaccine, and yet in 2019, 16,000 Americans died from the flu. Imagine if we did not have the flu vaccine, the flu would be a pandemic. So all the talk about coronavirus being so much more deadly doesn't reflect reality. Without a vaccine, the flu would be far more deadly.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard on television.
Wait a minute.
I guarantee you that she thinks that this is a tool for the Democrats to...
That was part of a rant that was about that.
Yeah, that the Democrats have... she's insane.
I mean, that is the most amazing thing. So you're telling
me... My father just sits there and, like, plays with himself to her. Like, he just, like, loves every second of it.
Walks off the set. Producer gives her a high five. Yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah, that's her job.
You're telling me, as something without a vaccine, the reason the numbers are high and more people are dying is because there's no vaccine.
Yes.
But if the flu didn't have a vaccine, it would be way worse.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, they have a vaccine for the flu.
Well, in fairness...
That's the problem.
In fairness, we are about a year and a half away from a coronavirus vaccine.
I'm going to play that 10 times this morning. You want to talk about people going insane, that's it.
Well, she's a piece of garbage. I mean, she really sucks.
What is she?
She's like on Saturday afternoons or some garbage. Like, she's like on like once a week. They can't even control her. They don't even want her on TV. All right, yeah. She's like, this is a way to get back at Trump, woman. Like, everyone made up the virus. Now, listen, I don't think the virus is as bad as everyone says, but, I mean, I certainly don't think it's a made-up tool by the Democrats to put the pressure on Trump. I think people would prefer not to be quarantined, if you ask me. But who am I? Yep. I'll be in Aruba, quarantined to my room. And I finally had someone say, worst things to be in a quarantine in your room in Aruba. No, there's not. I'd much be rather quarantined at home where there's three stories than in a stupid room. Ooh. You'll be like, oh, the weather's so great. I love being quarantined. All right, we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
.985 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. I coached 6 games this weekend. Not well.
Oh, I was just going to say, how'd you do? No?
6, well, a practice in 5 games.
You out of the 5, how many were wins?
My daughter's team is unstoppable.
Oh.
And so they won 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son's team lost. But they were missing a kid. But the weekends, I'll tell you, very. And so I took a nap yesterday afternoon and then got up at 6 and had to coach a practice.
On Sunday night?
You got that right, Jack.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
You got that right, Jack. So, yeah.
You didn't have to go very far, I'm hoping.
No.
To this practice.
No, no. Okay. It was at Brown. But I mean, that's life. I'll probably miss it when it's over, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind a break.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in the Rube, I get a little break. All right, Rich, what's going on?
So this whole...
You coaching anything right this weekend?
Dude, all weekend was like one nonstop kid's birthday party I was part of.
Oh,
like,
that's right. I had to go to the...
At least he had to drive 2.5 hours to get there.
Dude, it was like the entire weekend, it was my kid's school. They like had this thing where they all met up at this hotel, and they took over this hotel, and it was like being trapped in a Chuck E. Cheese for, 48 hours plus? I mean, the kids didn't go to bed till like 11. They were running around screaming. And then you're chasing them around a mountain, which is fantastic because everyone wants to go down black diamonds, even though they're not good enough to go down greens and stuff. I busted my ass on the mountain today, this weekend too, which was A-OK, super cool. I went with a group of guys who were way better than me. And they're like, hey, we'll go this way. I'm like, I'm not doing anything like above a blue. And so then it's always great when you get on a mountain and they don't label the trails correctly. Like, so there was this one part where there's a trail to the left and there's a trail to the right, and there's a sign that says, Black Diamond, straight ahead, intermediate, straight ahead. No, it doesn't. And so I don't know which one is which. All I know is that I look in the left and one's in the woods. So I'm like, if that's a Black Diamond and I go down that, I'm dead. Like, I mean, it's a Sonny Bono situation. I'm going through the woods on a Black Diamond. I can't do it. So the one on the right, a little wider, but I can't quite see how steep it is at that point. I'm like, at least I'll have a fighting chance. So I go to the one on the right, and sure enough, that's the Black effing Diamond. And so I just try to do these super wide turns, but with every turn, just your speed just picks up. And with every turn, whoa, so I go 3/4 of the way down, and all of a sudden, my body just says, F you. Boom, boom, boom. 2 flips, ass over tea kettle. Skis fly off.
It's like, is there video of this?
Dude, I don't know. Maybe someone on the lift was filming me underneath there. Like, I mean, just
that's
like
tough.
The most violent flip. Like, luckily for some reason, I didn't get hurt at all. Mm. But it's one of those things where it took me like 5 minutes to get my skis back on because I'm on such a steep hill that you have to like put your skis on without immediately slipping downhill at like 100 miles an hour to do it. And so you got to like, and there's people way more trained than I can figure that crap out, but I can't. I'm still like an intermediate skier. So that was fun. So that was that. And then like at one point on Saturday night, I had gone on like hour 15 of just like having to talk to people and chase kids around. In the middle of a conversation at like 8:30, I just go, I'm out. And I walk back to my room and I text my wife and I'm like, Mary, I'm checked out. I'm just going to sit and watch the Bruins game. So I sit down, I turn on, which by the way was effing amazing. That game was, we'll talk about it later on with Ty Anderson when he's in studio. But I turn on for 15 minutes and all of a sudden the party comes to the Shirtley room. And it's like 15 kids are in there throwing stuff and they're playing the Switch and everyone's going nuts. And I guess mine was just the designated party room that night. It was, dude, I'd never want to do that again.
But you go every year.
Yeah, because I always have this wistful thing, as Fred was saying, like you're going to look back. And you know what, to be quite honest, like, you know, having those moments with your kid is nice, but I don't know if it's worth the 8,000 moments without your kid and everybody else's kid.
Well, there'll be a time where you'll be sitting around on the weekend saying, what shall I do?
Mm-hmm. Butterfly kisses.
That's right. But, I mean, there's nothing like coaching seven things. Just, it makes life really worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. You to tournament time yet with your kids?
My daughter played three games on Saturday in a tournament, but it didn't mean anything.
Oh.
They like won all three games and it was over.
Oh, okay.
We didn't like, they weren't like, hey, you won.
Yeah, my son went through that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it was just
they had to play three games like on a Friday of vacation week, and then they had a tournament on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
And they win and they got a t-shirt, but it really didn't mean anything.
No, they didn't get anything.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't mean anything. It was like, it just was nonsense. But I was there. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When we come back, CJ Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, from your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.